I'd like to call this regular council meeting to order. Would you all please rise, Madam Clerk, the invocation?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chamber minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Thank you. And Ms. Bibanco, the roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of council are present.
Thank you. Just a couple of brief announcements. Number one, once again this year, the Crystal Beach 5K was run on a beautiful day. They had a fantastic turnout. Very good event for the community, and I'm sure that they were very successful in raising funds for the Crystal Beach area causes. That's an event that's organized by the Friends of Crystal Beach. And then the second thing is the Chamber of Commerce Business Excellence Awards reception is being held this Friday, October the 16th. I believe it's from 5:30 to 9:30, something of that nature. Yeah, okay, good. And that's at, is that the Leisureplex? Thank you. And then the one final announcement is that October the 19th, which is next Monday, is our federal election. And so if people haven't voted, and they had four opportunities over the last 4 days to yesterday, if they haven't already voted, please take the time to vote. This is the one sole thing that every citizen can do, and that is vote. And this is very important. So regardless of who you vote for, I have my own particular persuasions, but whoever you vote for, people should go out and vote. There is an addendum. We have a delegation that is being deleted. That is the people with respect to the Niagara Regional Housing. We also received late notification that the delegation by Mr. Fred Bracken is going to be deleted. He has to work and so is unable to make it. And then the final agenda change is Committee of the Whole, which will show as item number 14, and that will be to deal with the issue of a vacancy and a fulfillment of that vacancy on the Porter SPCA. So are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest this evening? If none, then there are a number of public notices. First has to do with an open house with respect to the town-initiated housekeeping zoning bylaw amendments, and that open house will be held October the 14th, 2015, between 5 and 6 p.m. here in the Town Hall atrium, and that will be followed by a statutory public meeting, which will be held on Monday, November the 2nd, in the council chambers. Immediately following that, there will be an open house for the town-initiated official plan and zoning bylaw amendment regarding the former industrial lands on Helena Street. Again, that's Wednesday, October the 14th, 2015. That will be between 6 and 7 p.m. in the Town Hall atrium. And again, the public meeting for that will be held on November the 2nd here in the council chamber starting at 6 o'clock. It's also a public meeting with respect to the combined official plan, zoning bylaw amendment, and draft plan of subdivision for the Mars Homes properties in Crystal Beach. And that public meeting will be held also on November the 2nd, 2015. Sounds like a lot of public meetings on that date. And information regarding that public meeting or an informational report will be available Wednesday, October the 28th on the town's website. A budget schedule, which starts November the 4th with capital budget and forecast. And then on December the 9th, the water and wastewater budget. January 13th, the library and the EDTC will be presenting their budgets. On January the 27th, the general levy and operating budget. And if necessary, on February 3rd, 2016, a further meeting. And all of those meetings commence at 5:30, yes. And they will all be held at the town hall. That takes us to the regional council report. Good evening, Councillor Annunziata.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Good evening, everyone in attendance. I'll start off with a notice that I received today with respect to the Central Avenue Bridge. So I'm glad Kojiko is here. Traffic on Regional Road 124 Central Avenue at the Central Avenue Bridge will be closed to all traffic between Winnemute Street and Courtright Street commencing on Friday, October 16th at 7 p.m. until Sunday, October 18th at 6 a.m. So this closure is required in order to remove an existing storm sewer to facilitate construction staging for the rehabilitation of the Central Avenue Bridge. Let's not confuse rehabilitation with replacement. That bridge will be replaced. Traffic will be detoured using Regional Road 19, which is Gilmore Road and Thompson Road and Fifth Street. Traffic using Regional Road 122 Thompson Road will be restricted to a maximum clearance height of 3.7 meters. So upon completion of this work, traffic will be restricted to one lane of traffic on the Central Avenue Bridge. So after this weekend, the Central Avenue Bridge will be restricted to one lane of traffic. An emergency management plan with respect to vehicles is already in place. I don't know if the chief wants to speak to that, but that's been in place for some time. That is the one pressing issue that I wanted to release to the public. With respect to business at Regional Council, tomorrow is a watershed moment for Regional Council. We introduce the Growth Strategy 2041. Now, this is a very comprehensive document. I encourage everyone to download the document, go on the regional website to have a look at it. Basically, it touches on four very strategic points. Number one, growing Niagara. Number two, employment lands. Number three, building great communities in urban design, which includes waterfront strategy. And number four, a planning system in Niagara, which includes expedited approval processes, proactive solutions to support quicker approvals, and roles and responsibilities with respect to government bureaucracy. So this planning document is very strategic. Right now, the province has assigned a 2041 population target for Niagara at 610,000 and an employment target of 265,000 jobs. So this represents an increase of 179,000 persons and 64,000 jobs from right now. So it's very aggressive. Basically, 179,000 persons is the equivalent of St. Catharines and Welland combined. So the whole idea, population growth drives employment growth. And we will not meet these targets if we're not proactive. So this strategic document represents the focus on going forward. And I encourage council and certainly members of the audience to download this very, very strategic report that will be coming to Regional Council tomorrow. I'll leave it up to questions and comments from my colleagues with respect to anything with a regional flair. I'll be more than happy to answer.
Do any councillors have any questions of Councillor Annunziata? And thank you very much. I'll have some questions later with respect to the closure of the Central Avenue Bridge with respect to staff, particularly in the event of a fire emergency. Anyways, please remind me about that, Mr. Cookett, when we get there. Thank you. That takes us then to presentations and delegations, and the first delegation is Craig Schufeld and Larry Graber from the Fort Erie Public Library. Good evening, gentlemen. This is an update on activities and with respect to Canadian and Ontario Library Month, or Ontario Library Week?
Yeah, Canadian Library Month, Ontario Library.
So, okay.
Yeah. Mayor, councillors, Regional Councillor Annunziata, members of the press, ladies and gentlemen. We're here just to provide you with a very quick update on what's happening at the library. And of course, it's particularly good to do it now, as it is, as was just mentioned, Canadian Library Month. And next week will be Ontario Library Week, so good time to be here. We've done some great things, we think, over the year, and we feel more things to come. But first, we looked at our hours of business, and we were actually able to expand our hours by opening up at 9:30 instead of at 10 o'clock. We can do this four mornings a week at Centennial and three mornings per week at Crystal Ridge. This was one of our priorities for 2015, to increase the service hours, and we're happy that it was accomplished without any additional costs. The homework help program was started just at the start of last year's school time in September, and we expect that similar to last year, we'll have a small core group through the first month to 6 weeks. Those numbers will likely grow after awareness grows among educators and parents, and especially after the first report cards of the year are sent home. Last year, a couple of schools actually included a flyer for the program with the report cards. Crystal Ridge, we added a play structure. We'll show you a picture of it shortly. We do understand that counselors won't be able to use it due to weight restrictions on the structure. But to let you know, this project took well over 6 months to complete, in large part because the play structure took 14 weeks to be built and had to be shipped from Germany. Not surprisingly, those with young children enjoy having something in the library that occupies their children while they browse or interact with one another. Also in the Leisureplex, the Rotary Club was looking to partner with the library on a project and jumped at the idea of a reading area in our local arena. They provided $3,000 for the initial purchase of furniture and materials and will be giving $500 per year over the next 4 years to purchase additional materials. John Hutton was very receptive to allowing the library a presence in the Leisureplex, and we found that so far it's being very well used. Got some pictures of the play structure. You can see it occupies particularly the younger children while parents are browsing for books or using the computers. The kids certainly enjoy it. And the next picture shows two pictures of the Leisureplex reading area. Rotary International paid for it, so they did put a mat down so that when kids are sitting at the small table and throw off their shoes, they're at least putting their feet on something comfortable. The books are arranged as such that I think experience has shown anything. Some of the books, the kids didn't have a chance to finish reading them, so we think that they did go home, and we expect that they will be returned once the kids have finished with them. We've also included a picture of the adult programs. For example, we had a day-long quilting program held at the Stevensville Hall in partnership with our local museum and the Birdie Historical Society. Roughly 200 people attended, so it was very good attendance. The picture on the right shows a how-to shave program. Councilor Passero. Yeah, this program was held at Centennial Branch earlier this year. It was great to see a program geared towards men that drew a good crowd, and we'd like to keep offering unique programs or events to draw in people from across our community. Our strategic plan is currently being reviewed. We began implementation of our strategic plan in January 2013. So we're approaching 3 years of age and felt it was time to examine whether goals have been met and whether new targets need to be met. So we do feel that it's necessary to update it. That's really all that we've got. If there are any questions from members of council.
I just wanted to make one quick comment. Sorry, first, on the quilting program, is just a tiny omission, is that one of the other partners was also the Bowen Road Women's Institute. I didn't want to exclude them. They're a great partner. They also do a knitting program out at Crystal Ridge. It's very popular. They're a great community partner for us.
Thank you, gentlemen. Do any members of council have any questions? Councilor Nunziata.
Thank you, Worship. Thank you, gentlemen, for the presentation. One issue that came before myself and my colleagues at AMO and again at FCM, Federation of Canadian Municipalities, was the fair pricing of e-books for public libraries. Now, I know there was a boilerplate motion that AMO circulated to various municipalities in order to endorse. Just curious, have you had an endorsement from Fort Erie or the region yet with respect to that motion?
haven't received endorsement from the town, but we have been an active participant in the fair pricing of e-books issue. Ottawa Public Library had spearheaded a drive about a year ago regarding the issue. We sent a letter of support. I would say we're definitely seeing some progress. It was actually one of the goals in our strategic plan was to increase use of ebooks and also to work on the idea of pricing. It was probably a bit of a lofty goal for one library to have, frankly. We do need to be a group. But I would say, I think it's something we're making progress on. Like everything else, I think the publishers are slow to jump on it because I'm sure they're going to fight it tooth and nail, right?
And for the benefit of everyone and maybe my colleagues on council, basically major multinational publishers are charging public libraries significantly higher costs to purchase ebooks for their collections as opposed to what they charge a regular consumer. So it is a rather hefty cost that they charge public libraries. So I do have a resolution here that I will pass on to my colleague, Councillor McDermott, who sits on the library board, and he can run it by the board and possibly Fort Erie Council can pass that resolution.
That's great. We appreciate that support.
That's great.
Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor Redekamp. Just wondering if you could take this opportunity maybe for a couple shameless plugs for a couple of events you have coming up for Ontario Library Week.
Sure. Well, yeah, there's one in particular, the library's fourth annual team trivia event. Fourth now, or are we at four?
I think so.
Okay. The fourth annual team trivia event will take place next Thursday, October 22nd, starting at 6, questions at 6:30. And a certain counselor will be emceeing the evening who asked that question. Again, we do appreciate that. I give Stephen a hard time. Councillor Passero a hard time. But we do appreciate him coming out and helping out of the library for sure, even after his time on the board.
What was the second plug?
Cupcake celebration.
Oh, yes. That's a Friends of the Library, our group that's been in existence for a couple of years now. This is actually their third annual cupcake celebration. It's really a chance at advocacy and to raise awareness not only of the library but also of the Friends group and their fundraising efforts that will be taking place this Saturday at the library, starting at noon.
Thank you, Craig. Thank you, Larry. And I will shave before trivia night.
Thank you.
I don't know if there are any other questions. Thank you very much, gentlemen. And you've proven that library services are much different than they used to be, and you've created welcoming environments for people of all ages. Thank you. The next delegation is Carol Bocock, the chair, and Signe Hansen, the staff liaison for our Communities in Bloom Committee. Welcome, ladies, and congratulations to you and your team.
Good evening, Your Worship, and members of council. I'm here to deliver the message. Congratulations to Fort Erie as a whole. We all put in a really good job and showed them what we're made of. We attended the Communities of Bloom International Challenge, and we received honorable mention with second place, five blooms with silver status, and special recognition for volunteer involvement and recognition, which I think when we had our big gala and recognition night, they really took part of that. This is a copy of the award that was received in Kamloops, which will be proudly displayed in the Town Hall atrium. The CIB ranking system that they used was first place, second place with honorable mention, three, four, or five blooms, and then now they've added in your blooms can also carry a bronze, silver, or gold status.
We're going to tag team this, and Carol is very, very sick, so I appreciate her coming in tonight. This slide, we wanted to show you our competition. Two of the communities that we competed against this year in the international competition have been in this competition before, Kilkenny, Ireland, and Rosemere, Quebec. And Servia, Fort Erie, and Calabasas, this is their first, our first year competing. It was very stiff competition, and we were a little concerned about our competition this year because each of these communities is internationally recognized for some unique character or quality. Servia is a resort community on the Adriatic Sea. Kilkenny is a medieval community, you can see from the picture, that's famous for its castle and even more famous for its beer. Calabasas is home to the rich and famous of Hollywood, so they were trying to give Justin Bieber back to us who lives there, but we wouldn't take him. And Rosemere is an upscale residential or suburban community just outside of Montreal that's very well known for its greenery and its urban forests. So we felt we had our work cut out for us, and as you see here, Servia was awarded first, but Fort Erie received honorable mention and second place. As we found out, these are just photographs from the awards presentation where we were invited up on stage to accept our honorable mention. And what we found out in Kamloops is receiving honorable mention in second place is a very big deal. It was a huge deal. Everyone was congratulating us, and we were told time and time again how proud Fort Erie should be of our achievements, of our accomplishments, of the community we have. We were recognized for our volunteers, for our rich heritage, our environmental stewardship, and the community and pride that exuded from every person that met with the judges when they were here. So that's why we're here tonight, is we want to pass on that message to the community, and again through Cogeco, to let Fort Erie residents that they have every reason to be proud of this community, and we're recognized around the world as a community to look up to, and that we lead the way in a number of these areas. The slide also shows in the bottom right-hand corner, we put together a display table, and we put a lot of our Communities in Bloom propaganda out on the table, our profile book and a number of our promotional materials. And this material was just snatched up on the first day. Everyone wanted to get an example of what we do and use our examples to lead their programs. As I mentioned earlier, there were participants from around the world. That's a shot of everyone who attended the awards gala on the last day. But as you can see, there are people from Turkey and Italy, Czech Republic, Ireland, the list goes on and on, as well as from across Canada. And one thing we hadn't expected that we saw was that in a number of the presentations, so at the symposium, there are a number of presentations that occur, number of sessions, and a number of people use Fort Erie examples as communities that know what they're doing, that have our act together in terms of Communities in Bloom and lead the way. So that was a bit of an honor that they were using us as an example for other communities. We received a written evaluation form from the international judges. That's what the cover looks like. Council will be receiving a copy of that by way of memo shortly. As well, we'll post it on the town website so everyone can take a look at what the comments are. The evaluation was based on the tour that we did with the international judges in July, as well as our community profile book, which we will also put on the website. We did receive a score in each of the six categories, but as well, the judges gave us a number of comments and recommendations of ways to improve and where we're doing a good job. Within the judges' evaluations, these are just some of the comments, and I'll read them for the benefit of those who are listening. They said, you can be very proud of your accomplishments and continued improvement in every evaluated category and sector. An impressive number of volunteers attest to the dedication and generosity of residents to improving quality of life in Fort Erie. Numerous committees and commissions make it possible for residents to have an impact on local government and town amenities. And our thanks to town staff and volunteers who spent so much quality time with us. So I think those comments really attest to how much our community gives to improve the quality of life in our town. I'll pass it over to Carol.
Okay, just to sum it up, just to show you, we've had 11 years of excellence. In 2004, we were provincial winners. 2005 and 06, national participants. 2009, national participants. 2012, we brought home the rock. 2015, the international challenge was second place to Italy, and 2016 to be determined. The committee just wants to thank you for your day-to-day participation, Mayor and Council, town and museum staff, CIB sponsors, volunteers, local organizations, community groups, and tour participants. Our year in review, this year we had a kickoff event with Frankie Flowers, which was quite successful. Our local competition, which we had up to approximately 150 participants this year. Scott's Miracle-Gro Best Garden of the Week, Anti-Litter Program, Kids in Bloom, Annual Award and Recognition Gala, and Community Education through Weekly Articles. Our next step is to review the International Judges Evaluation with staff. Committee recommendation to Council regarding what we'll do in 2016 participation level and 2016 budget priorities.
Well, thank you very much. I don't know how we can ever repay you and your committee and all of the volunteers, the municipal staff. I know councillors were involved, and it truly has to be a team effort to be successful at that stage. And I think the people of Fort Erie need to appreciate the fact that we were up against such significant competition, and people who have been to Ireland or people who have been to Italy or been to Rosemere or California, to think that Fort Erie was second, and I'm sure Cervio only won because one of the judges was from Italy. Yeah. Thank you very much. And I don't know if any councillors had any questions or want to add on their congratulations as well, but thank you very, very much. And I see that you've got some members here.
We also had the plaque we wanted to present to you, so it can be displayed.
Sure. Well, why don't we let the councillors ask questions or whatever, and then I'll come down and receive that from
sure.
you.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through yourself to Carolyn Signy. No question, really. Just some comments, and I just want to say thank you very much for both of your efforts and the committee's efforts. I think you guys have done a wonderful job. And it's great to see the results of this competition and your passion and how fruitful it is. But when I think of Fort Erie, and I've been in some of the places, probably the UK and Europe. I've been in California at some of the places that are in the competition. And Fort Erie is by far just as beautiful around the world, and I just want to say thank you very much for your efforts. And when I think of community and I think of where I want to be, I think this is an exemplary example of a community coming together and achieving great success, and it's one of the reasons that I call Fort Erie home. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, the councillors. Councillor Passero. Stevie Shrub, as we come to know you.
That was a fun day. Thank you, Mayor Redekop. Just for the benefit of those watching on Cogeco at home, do you think you could list the committee members that we're looking at on that last slide?
Sure. There's Blake Bocock, Gabrielle Todd, Margaret Feverer, Karen Audette, Winnie Swalm, Sharon, and Carol.
Very much. And if you could go back to the slide where you had the five views of the different competitors. Right there. I'm glad you clarified that, because at first glance, I thought the one on the bottom right was a picture of Will and Jada Pinkett Smith when they visited Tom Cookett's house in Niagara Lake. So I'm glad that you clarified that. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Any other councillors? Yes, Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just want to echo what my colleagues have said and congratulate yourself, Carolyn Signy, and I see some of your committee members here. It's especially when I see this picture that's up on the screen, it's just remarkable. And I also just, I know you mentioned that on our town website there will be a display of the certificate and some of the comments, but it'd be really great to see this whole presentation on our website, especially these pictures, to show what we were up against, if possible. And thanks again.
Thank you.
Sure it is possible. Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. And Carol and Signy, thank you very much and congratulations. And I know that this award comes to the town of Fort Erie, but as a member of council that sits on your committee, I just need to let everybody else know that it's the committee that puts this all together. And sitting at the meetings and watching everybody just put everything together, and so professional, and without a question, it's just there. And it's too bad the judges couldn't have seen that, because I'm sure there would have been a first place prize for that. And I need to let everybody else on this council know that it's the committee that gives the people in the community the inspiration to go forward with the things that they do in the community. So congratulations, and thank you very much.
Councillor Lubberts, any others? Thank you very much, ladies. And again, I presume that when you're doing your deliberations for the 2016, you'll be considering universal.
Have to see.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. So that takes care of presentations and delegations, and that moves us to the consent agenda. Councillor Lubberts, I wonder if you would put the consent agenda items on the floor through resolution number one.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that Council approves the consent agenda items as recommended.
So for the public, the consent agenda items are the approval of minutes of the Council meetings held on September 28th and October the 5th, and then some correspondence and various committee minutes that we have received from various municipal boards and agencies. Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor of the resolution? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor McDermott, you have the next resolution relative to the...
Yes, Your Worship.
I think we'll just hold that up because we need to get to responses to inquiries, and I don't believe there are any from previous inquiries. That takes us into new business. Councillor McDermott. That would be resolution number two.
Yes, moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, that Council appoints Nadine Litwin to the Environmental Advisory Committee for the period ending January 31st, 2019.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor Butler, you have the next resolution.
Yes, thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that Council appoints Shelby Fear and Carol McKay to the Crystal Beach Business Improvement Area Board of Management for the period ending January 31st, 2019.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor of the resolution? None opposed? That is carried. Are there any items of new business or inquiries by members of Council? Mr. Cook, the issue that I had following up on the comments made by Regional Councillor Annunziata regarding the Central Avenue bridge closure between October 16th and 18th is, do we have any fire vehicles that are unable to get under either the Thompson Road underpass or the International Railway Bridge on the Niagara Parkway?
To your worship, it's my understanding, and I'll let the fire chief jump in as well, that we have one vehicle on a central that cannot make it under that structure. I'll let him correct me if I'm wrong. He's been part of the communication or the discussions with the contractor and the region working out this road closure. So he's put a lot of thought into it, and I'll let him add to your question.
Thank you. I didn't see the chief over there. Chief Coughlin.
Sorry, I'm undercover today.
Yes,
I have been involved in the discussion. We do have one vehicle that will not fit under that bridge, either of the bridges. However, it's not located at Central. It's located at Station 4. So the likelihood of it actually having to go under the bridge is minimal. But all of our other vehicles can fit under that bridge.
So even if there was an event which would require that vehicle to come from Ridgeway for whatever reason, there are ways it can get access to the parkway and into the north end?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. Any other business, Councillor Basiro?
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. Just to dovetail on top of that, this has been a longstanding concern. The height is, of course, metric because of where we live. but going back over several years, anytime there's been a truck of any kind stuck under that bridge, whether it's the International Bridge or the tunnel at Thompson, it's usually because the truck drivers are driving a truck licensed from the United States, and they look at their dash or their rearview visor, and it says feet and inches. They have no idea what 3.7 meters means. Is there any way that we can work with our counterparts either regionally or with CN? I'm not sure who has jurisdiction over signage for that bridge, but is there any way that we can go against the norm, especially given the fact that there'll be detours in place and get some feet and inches signage posted? I think that would go a long way towards what I envision curbing the next truck to get stuck under there.
That's a very optimistic view, Councilor Pacheco, but Mr. Cookett, I presume that that's something that you can follow up.
Through your worship, absolutely. We've had discussions with, in particular, the region for a while now. And as far as the bridge on Thompson, we would like to put an arm that is just prior to going under the tracks, which basically has the identical height. So if a truck hits that arm, it's not going to make it under the structure. So we've been discussing that with the region for a while. But as far as doing a conversion and putting a sign up there, I don't see that being an issue, even if it's on a temporary basis. So it's something I'll look into tomorrow.
Anything further, Councilor Pizzurro?
Just in response to that, does it look like there's the possibility to explore that arm, or is that at a standstill? Where does that currently stand?
Through your worship, I had made the request and had a discussion about a year ago, and I've been pushing for it along the way. Maybe a regional councilor and the mayor can help me with that as well to get that installed.
That'd be great, because I know the region just spent some considerable funds to install new lighting along that corridor, so we can see the trucks get stuck better now. Now it's just a matter of preventing them.
And they can see the bridge as it's approaching.
Hopefully.
Mr. Cookett, I wonder if you could just remind both Councilor Nunziata and I of that by email, and then we'll have something that we can take up with Public Works. Thank you. Any other councilors? Then takes us to motions, and Councillor McDermott, you have a motion.
Yes, moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, that Council direct staff to provide a report outlining options for licensing residential properties that are rented out to the public for short-term rental periods.
Councillor McDermott, did you want to speak to that?
Well, Your Worship, I'm not certain if there's anything we can do as a council. So I have had a meeting with Kira, Tom, and the bylaw officer to bring forward a report to share some of the concerns that residents in my ward have had with regards to some of the short-term rentals, which are turning into weekend bashes in some of the higher priced neighborhoods in town. So I'm not certain if there's anything we can do for them, but through this report, we'll find out if there is, and I'd like to have answers for them.
Right, and I understand that this is something that a number of municipalities are dealing with. Anyone have any questions or comments regarding the motion? I'll call the question. All those in favor? Unopposed, that is carried. Are there any notices of motion this evening? If none, then I'll go to consideration of bylaws. Wait a second. The addendum. Number 14 is Committee of the Whole. So we're going to, we need a motion to go into Committee of the Whole, and Councillor Nutt, you have that resolution. Yeah, we need to go through this.
Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zenko, that Council does now go into Committee of the Whole at 6:38 p.m. to discuss the following: A, the notice of resignation of Councillor Butler from the Fort Erie SPCA and the subsequent appointment.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? Opposed, that is carried. So we're in Committee of the Whole, and I have one item of business, and that is to accept the resignation of Councillor Butler from the SBCA board. And I understand Madam Clerk, that you have Councillor Butler's resignation in writing. So then we need to fill that vacancy, which is now now exists on the Fort Erie SPCA board. Any councillors interested in filling that? I understand, Councillor Lubert, you are. Are there any other councillors that are interested in filling that vacancy? Then it's a lot easier than I anticipated. So if there is no one else, then what we will do, Councillor Passero, I understand you have a resolution with respect to rising from Committee of the Whole, and I would ask you to insert Councillor Lubert's name in the blank space for the name of the council representative that we will appoint. And I would ask you to read the resolution, please.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, the council does now rise and reconvene from Committee of the Whole at 6:40 p.m. with the following report. That council accepts the resignation of Councillor Butler as the councillor representative on the Fort Erie SPCA and appoints Councillor Lubert as the councillor representative on the Fort Erie SPCA for the period ending January 31st, 2019.
Excuse me, didn't we change the term of these appointments to coincide with the term of council?
Should be for the councillor appointee, for sure.
That was somewhat addressed to you, yes.
As the procedural bylaw states, the committees extend their appointment to the end of January after the new council is put in place.
That was what we were faced with, but I thought we changed that. I thought we went back to making the appointments to coincide with the term of council. Yes, so why don't we do this? Councillor Passero, why don't we make that November 30th, 2018? And if we're wrong, we'll... But I believe it's now to coincide with the term of council. Call that, Mr. Cookett.
I
recall
the discussion, but I can't recall what decision we made.
All right. Well, why don't we do this? And if we haven't made that change, then we will be at some point, and so we'll be quite in line. So I'm going to suggest, Councillor Passero, that's simply your resolution, and if your seconder is in agreement with that, that's what we'll go with. Okay. Any questions or comments with respect to the resolution? Councillor Passero?
Just one, regardless of whether that was decided or not, with the election happening in the fall of 2018, the councillor wouldn't be the representative going into 2019 anyways.
That's true. So you're quite right. Either way, we're on safe territory. Okay, I'm going to call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. And so that means that the bylaw... The bylaw 128 then should have Councillor Lubert's name inserted. Is that a separate resolution? Yes, it is. Okay. So we're now at consideration of bylaws. Are there any bylaws that anyone wishes removed from the package? I would point out that 128 is being dealt with separately as it is. Councillor Lubert?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Could we deal with bylaw 126-2015 separately?
Sure. Okay. So, Councillor Zanko, if you would read first and second reading for then really what amounts to bylaws 125 and 127, please.
Thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Matt, that bylaw package containing 125-2015 to authorize the stopping up, closing, and sale of part of Gordon Avenue North unopened road allowance, Plan 437 south of Grove Avenue, and the transfer of 0.3 meter reserve being part lot 1001, Plan 437, Terry and Crystal Teal. Bylaw 127-2015 to appoint Carolee Griffin as Deputy Treasurer for the Town of Fort Erie to reappeal Bylaw Number 100-2014 is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. Those bylaws are on the floor then for question or comment. Any questions with respect to or comments with respect to bylaws 125 or 127? If not, then Councillor Lubberts, would you give first and third and final reading for those two bylaws, please?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redicott. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that bylaws number 125-2015 and 127-2015 are given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. So, Councillor Zanko, back to you for first and second reading for bylaw 126, please.
I thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that bylaw package containing 126-2015 to authorize a grant and the entry into grant funding agreement with the District School Board of Niagara Greater Fort Erie Secondary School Feeder is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? Opposed, that is carried. That bylaw is on the floor for questions and comments. Councillor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much. Just a couple of questions. On page 4 of the report, I guess it's on Schedule A, page 4.
Which paragraph?
First paragraph on page 4. In there it says, let me find it. It says the DSBN will perform bookkeeping services for the Greater Fort Erie Center of Arts Community Fundraising Committee. And I think that that's okay, but then in the very next section, 12, the first one, it says that the fundraising committee has to perform the following duties, and one of them is to keep the proper accounts and records of all receipts, expenses, respecting the fundraising program. Wouldn't that fall under the bookkeeping?
Well, what happens is the fundraising committee will be raising money, and they have to keep a record of whatever they raise and the expenses that they incur. Then they will be giving money to the DSBN to be the banker for the project. So they're both going to have to keep records. But there could very well be monies raised outside of the fundraising committee, which will find its way to DSBN. So they both have a bookkeeping function.
Okay, thank you. And then I guess the same page, section 12.
So are you talking about, okay, that's paragraph 12, page 4 of 11?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The third bullet in there. It says that the fundraising committee will make periodic written updates to the CAO and the DSBN. And I'm just wondering if we could get a little more definite time frame on these reports coming forward. And the reason I ask that is I believe it was in July, our July meeting, I was told that Mr. Lowe's would be coming forward in August to give us an update on the fundraising efforts to date, and that never happened. So when I look at this, it says, well, you know, periodic updates could be at any time, and I'm just wondering if it's possible that we could have a more definite time frame. If we look at other parts in here, I think the DSBN even says that they will report to the CAO every 3 months, I think. Yeah, that's in on page 3, section 9. It says during the construction, the DSBN shall submit to the CAO every 3 months a progress report. I'm just wondering if we can have the same in that progress report, something from the fundraising committee.
Mr.
Mr. Legal Counsel, thank you, Your Worship. The three-month
reports have to do with the progress of construction, whereas this has to do with the fundraising. So what we can do, if the council is agreeable, is write to DSBN to indicate to them and to the fundraising committee that we would appreciate receiving, and we expect to receive, reports on the fundraising like every 3 months, just to keep it the same. I'd rather not amend the agreement if we can avoid doing that, really, for this particular point. I think that the fundraising committee is a community committee, and it will respond, I'm sure, to the request of council, the CAO, to make that information available.
Councillor Lubberts? I mean, yes. Part of the problem is that the fundraising committee isn't a party to this agreement, and they are volunteers, so I think get further ahead if we request as opposed to insist. I understand your point, though.
Yes, yes, I understand that. Yes, but and I understand what Mr. Lusdick is saying. But as we see, the fundraising committee has to submit all that to the DSBN anyway, and so I'm just thinking that. I mean, it doesn't have to be every 3 months, but maybe every 6 months when they get their information. Then they can include that in their report. I don't know if we make that like a friendly amendment so we don't have to make an amendment.
Well, what Mr. Lustig is saying is he'd prefer not to alter this document now, which has been negotiated over a period of time with DSBN's legal counsel. And we could put whatever we want in here. It's not going to bind the fundraising committee. So what Mr. Lustig is suggesting is that we talk with DSBN about requesting that the fundraising committee give us periodic means, periodic. So it could be 3 months. If we want to specify 3 months, we could specify 4 months. We could just leave it at periodic. But we need to do something. So I'm advised by Councillor Butler, who is on the fundraising committee, that there will be information posted on the town's website as well. But I understand your point. It's just that Mr. Lustig is suggesting that we not alter
yes.
this particular document.
Okay. Thank you. But Mr. Lustig will make the recommendation to. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. And if I may, Mayor Redicott, on page 5, if we read section 16, the DSBN shall refund to the town 5% of its grant for any year during the first 20 years after completion and opening of the theater that it is not, when it's not being operated and maintained as a theater. And I'm just wondering, can we get a little clearer explanation on what exactly they're saying here?
If, as an example, after 15 years, DSBN decides that they're no longer going to utilize that theater as a theater, we get a refund of 5% for each year that it's not used as a theater. 5% of our initial contribution.
So if we put in $1.5 million, we'll get $75,000 a year until it's all paid back? Is that what we're saying
so,
here?
Well, it'll end at year 20. So in my example, if it was years 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20, it would be 6 years at 5% rebate. Lustig?
Yes, the math here is 5 times 20 is 100%. So, you know, the idea is that if for some reason DSBN is unwilling or unable to continue to provide this to the community as a theater, which is why we're giving them the grant, that we would have the right to a return of whatever the percentage was outstanding at that time based upon 5% per year. So in the worst case scenario, if a year after we gave the grant to them, they decided not to continue to use it as a theater, we would get 19 times 5% or 95%. Is that right? 90%, 95% of the grant.
Yes. So if it's in year 15, then we would get 5%. We get 25% back. So in other words, what you're saying is in the future, the DSPN could say, you know, we're not going to use this as a theater no more, and the theater could be gone.
I wouldn't look at it that way. This is really protection for the town. It's a considerable amount of money, and we thought it was prudent to have this provision in to protect us in the event that for some reason it doesn't continue as a theater for a period of 20 years, which we thought was a reasonable period of time for this type of facility and for this type of grant. No intention that I'm aware of on the part of DSBN or anyone in the community for it to be used anything other than a theater, and I would be extremely surprised if that happened. But this is really protection for the municipality, so it's protected in the event that that occurs, and it is something that we put in really to give the town protection.
Okay, thank you very much. And if I may, just on the same page 5 of 11, section 15, it goes on to say that we have to all the facility booking requests must be made by the town with sufficient advance through the DSBN, Facilities Residential or Rental Department. And then it goes on there has to be proof of approximate insurance liability coverage in the amount of $2 million and indemnify the board, right, to cover its usage. Is this same condition going to be applied to like the community groups that are going to be using this facility?
Mr. Lustig, can you interpret that? I mean, when it says all facility booking.
Yeah, I think it's the same as the town, actually. No matter who uses a facility in order to protect us, we require certificates of insurance and proper protection. This is no doubt the policy of the DSBN in using any of their facilities, whether it's a not-for-profit group or some other type of group. It would probably be mainly not-for-profit groups that would rent it in any case. So they need to be protected, and just like most municipalities, including this municipality, they require insurance.
Councilor Lubert?
Yes, thank you very much. Well, the reason that I asked the question is when we were discussing this and we had the public meeting in the open house here at the town hall, and there were other groups came forward that said that they would be using the facility and that they wanted us to, support having this facility built. Were they informed of this, and do they have that type of coverage? That's my question. Because do they understand that they will have to have an insurance policy, right, that covers the $2 million liability, otherwise they won't be able to rent the facility? And the reason I ask that is because just recently, I know that the Friends of Crystal Beach have put together, they got themselves an insurance policy. They never had that before, what they have now. Now they have a liability insurance for themselves. And I'm just wondering, do these organizations that plan on renting or using the facility, were they informed of this, and do they have the insurances to cover it?
Through you, Your Worship, I don't know. I don't know that we know exactly which groups would be renting the facility in the future. And again, I think it's just like most other public facilities that are used by groups. They make their application and they're advised of what the requirements are, including liability coverage. So I don't think any group would have been advised, and I don't think that any group is actually clearly indicated a need to rent the facility at this stage. So that wouldn't have arisen.
In fairness, Councilor Luberts, there were some groups. They were, I know the dance groups, a couple of them indicated they would be utilizing it. I know that they have insurance coverage because they have to where they rent facilities now. The other organizations, I don't know that, but I think Mr. Lustig's comment is accurate. If they were going to rent a facility anywhere, they'd have to have some type of of insurance coverage if it was a municipal facility. So, you know, if they want to rent it, they have to go through the process like everybody else. I mean, that's the deal.
Yes, I understand that, but we have to be realistic about this. The Friends of Crystal Beach, they put on a lot of events over the years, and the problem that they were having, and it wasn't so much a problem, but it was something that was realized by the municipality and realized by insurance companies, that there were organizations that were taking advantage of the fact that if you were endorsed by your VIA, that you could have an event and your insurance would fall under the town's insurance because you were going through the BIA. And that's why Friends of Crystal Beach went out and got their own insurance, because they were told that this might not work out so well for the Friends of Crystal Beach using and abusing maybe the insurance, because the events didn't actually fall under the auspice of the BIAs. So yes, some organizations do have insurance, but I'm sure there's others that don't. But the question is, were these organizations told this? Do they understand that they may have to go out and get insurance?
Well, you've received the answer from Mr. Lustig.
But they weren't notified.
Well, I certainly didn't notify any organizations, because I don't know what organizations you might be talking about.
Okay, thank you very much. If we can move on then, Mayor Redicott, to page 6. There's...
paragraph?
Section 19. First bullet in section 19. It goes on to talk about... there's something with the $5 million per occurrence of insurance, but then at the second paragraph of 1, it says, subject to availability from its insurance, the policy shall include a 30-day written notice of cancellation, termination, or material charge. And I'm just wondering, what is the subject to availability? Is the subject to availability talking about this cross liability clause? Is it like, are they saying that as long as we can get this insurance, then everything will be okay? But what if they can't get the insurance?
Mr. Lustig, what's the significance of that caveat?
That is exactly the point, that no carrier that provides that insurance, then they can't get it. That's the way the industry works. If you're trying to get insurance for certain things, you might not be able to get it. So they've put in this clause in order to protect themselves in the event that they can't get the insurance.
So I guess my next question is, in the event that they can't get this insurance, where do we default to? How do we,
Mr. Lustig,
go around this cross liability?
Well, I don't have an answer for you, to be honest with you, but I this clause and others in the agreement provide for the town not to be responsible for what occurs as a result of the grant being made. And so we're both indemnified and we're released from liability under the agreement by virtue of the clauses in the agreement that say that. So I suppose that... this might be overkill in a way, because with respect to the other clauses in the agreement, I think that we're fully protected. But I don't have an answer for the question you've asked with respect to not being able to obtain insurance. If it's not obtainable, it's not obtainable, and there's no one else in the market. If we can't get it, we can't get it, or they can't get it.
If I can, Councillor Lubritz. So, Mr. Lustig, we've talked about this. Your concern was that even though the town's sole role with respect to this theater would be assisting in raising the money to build it, we wouldn't be operating it, we wouldn't have constructed it, we wouldn't be maintaining it, you still felt it was necessary to have some type of insurance protection. For what reason?
Just in case. I think we had the our insurer review the insurance and indemnity provisions, and I believe that this came out of that review.
All right. So you're comfortable with the wording of this agreement?
I am.
Councillor Liberts, back to you.
Okay, thank you very much. And it's just one last thing. I have to bring this up because of the last term of council, we debated this over and over again about one council not being able to bind another council. And so if we look at page 8 of 11 of the report, the last bullet in the agreement, 26, this agreement shall ensure to the benefit of and be binding upon the town, its successors, and assigns. Can we enforce that clause, because we're binding another council?
Yes, you can. This is common in various agreements that the municipality enters into. I think the key point here is that the financial obligation of the town is to the maximum of $1.5 million, and that money will be provided for during the life of this council. It won't be a debt, if you will, that's passed on to the next council, which is really the point I think that you're getting at, which is what the law is, that you can't bind a successive council unless you provide for it in your current budget. And Mr. Jansen has provided for the funds within the life of this council.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Any other councillors? Councillor Butler.
I just wanted to clarify that the website is on the DSBN fundraiser.
Sorry.
For the, yeah.
Could we not, we could surely put a link up, could we not? So there, that takes care of that one. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Mr. Lustig, just to go back to paragraph 15, which is on page 5, when we talk about all facility booking requests must be made by the town, did you envisage that any group that wanted to rent that facility would have to go through the municipality?
Worship, I would expect that they would go through DSVN, not through us.
So you're thinking then of the town's request for bookings?
Yes.
Maybe we could just get that clarified at some point. And I do want to say that I want to advise councillors that I know that Mr. Lustig has been working on this a great deal in conjunction with legal counsel from DSBN. And I know that there are many, many provisions which are included, which initially the DSBN was not particularly interested in including. So I want to congratulate you, Mr. Lustig, for your tenacity. And the I know that the school board is also quite content with the arrangement that we've made. So both you and your counterpart are to be commended.
Thank you.
And I'm hoping that this passes. Okay. If there aren't any other questions or comments, we'll move to third and final reading. Councillor Lubitsch, you have the resolution for third and final reading.
Thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that bylaw number 126-2015 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any further questions or comments? Councillor Lubitsch.
Yes, could I have a registered vote, please?
Sure. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Your Worship. This is my first recorded vote. So I'm just making sure. Thank you very much. All right, we begin with Councillor Butler.
I'm in favor, yes.
Councillor Nutt?
I'm in favor, yes.
Councillor Lubert?
No.
Councillor McDermott?
Yes.
Councillor Passero?
My first opportunity to see where I stand on the theater? Yes.
Councillor Zanko?
Yes.
And Mayor Redekop?
Yes.
The vote carries.
Okay, so that then takes us to the next resolution. Councillor McDermott, this relates to bylaw number 125. And for clarification then, paragraph 1 of that bylaw should read that it's Councillor Luberts who is being appointed to the Fortery SPCA. Are we all clear on that? Bylaw 128. All right. Councillor McDermott, would you please proceed then with first and second reading?
Yes, moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, that bylaw number 128-2015 to amend bylaw number 10-2015, appointments to various boards and committees, Fortery SPCA, is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? That is carried. And Councillor Nutt, you have third and final reading. Well, that's on the, that bylaw is on the floor. Any questions or comments?
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that bylaw number 128-2015 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor Butler, you have the next resolution.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that bylaw number 129-2015 to confirm the actions of Council at its meeting held on October 13, 2015 is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. Councillor Zanko, you have the next resolution.
Thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that bylaw number 129-2015 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That takes us to scheduling of meetings. Any meetings coming up? Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. On Thursday, October 15th at 6 p.m., we have the Douglastown CIP. That will be hosted at the Community Center in Black Creek.
That's an open house?
Yes, it is.
Councillor Passero and then Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. Our Fort Erie Active Transportation Committee meeting that was scheduled for tomorrow has been postponed until further notice.
Councillor Zanko.
Thank you. We have a corporate services meeting on Monday, October 19th at 11 a.m.
Any other meetings? Okay, then that takes us to the final item on our agenda, adjournment. Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that Council adjourns at 7:12 p.m. to reconvene in a regular meeting of Council on Monday, October 26, 2015 at 6 p.m.
All those in favor? That's unanimous. Thank you.